Oh, wait a minute, I messed it up already. I don't have 19 hours. See, I'm wasting time. Come on. All right, here we go. All right, today's message, I'm going to talk about something topical for today. The Super Bowl, right? Yeah, Taylor Swift. Commercials. No, I'm kidding. There's not really any sports or football in the Bible. Well, there is baseball. I don't know. You remember that? You know the verse. In the beginning, the big inning. See, I messed it up. Yeah, I know it's corny. Obviously, this week is Valentine's Day, right? And I know somebody has an anniversary this week, too, is on that day. So when you have anniversary and Valentine's Day on the same day, one gift, right? No, I guess not. All right, hold on. I got to do something here. All right, sorry. Technical difficulties. So today my message is, I'm going to call it, what is love? Now, when I hear that phrase, and I think somebody else was talking to me this morning about it, when they hear that, what is love, they think of this song. And it's called, I think, What is Love? And it's a silly skit that they did on Saturday Night Live where they played that song, and it was like two brothers. And they play that song, What is Love? And they kept bobbing their heads. Oh, man, you guys are taping this, too. So they kept bobbing their heads to this song. So that's all I think about when I hear this song or this phrase, What is Love? But and it made me think of some other songs that have love in the title. So let's go through a few of them here. Love Hurts, you know, that was a song 30, 40 years ago, whatever. I guess it's kind of a sad breakup song, maybe, I don't know. Love Stinks. I think it's about a couple that beans are in their diet or something, I don't know. Love is a Battlefield. Two prize fighters in love? I don't know, really. No, I think it's about an abusive relationship, so I don't, that's nothing to laugh about. So, Real Love, that was a song the Surviving Beatles made with a tape from John Lennon several years ago. Kind of want to touch base on what real love is here in a little bit. Another song, Can't Help But Falling in Love. Someone who lacks self-control, I think. Love is a Many Splendored Thing. I think that was a movie and a song. Kind of makes me want to vomit. Just the title itself. But anyway, no, I'm kidding. All You Need Is Love, another Beatles song, but, you know, that doesn't pay the rent, doesn't buy the food, right? So, need a little bit more than love. But then there's the old song, Who Wrote the Book of Love, right? Well, I kind of want to talk about who wrote this book, which talks about love. So that's what I really want to focus on, is what God's Word says. So I'm going to sit that right there for a minute. All right, so let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all that you provide. And just pray that you bless us here in the next few minutes, that we could be honoring you and go over verses from your word on love. And I just pray for those who are here, and just may it be a blessing to their heart. And I just pray forgiveness where we fail you. These things we pray in your name. Amen. So the first thing I want to talk about is the definition of love, which the dictionary, Webster Dictionary, had several different meanings, but the very first one, strong affection for another rising out of a kinship or personal ties. Now, I have a layman's Bible dictionary, and it said love is unselfish, it's benevolent, and it's concerned for other persons. And in that same text from the definition, it mentions that, you know, to love God supremely and others unselfishly, there's the word unselfishly, are the two most important commands of Jesus. which you find in Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40. And it says, "And he said to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend on the law and the prophets.'" So think about the unselfish kind of stands out, the concern for others. And it made me think of some personal examples of love that for me. Last Christmas, sitting there reading the news on the couch, and Diane brings me a cup of coffee just out of nowhere. Well, from the kitchen. But I'm sorry. But she just made the cup of coffee just because she loved me. At the same time, this has been several years ago. It was after my mom passed away. And watching this show, and it was like a, don't laugh, but it was like a Disney show. And they started singing a song that was from an animated movie from, decades ago. But it triggered something because my mom and dad would take me to these movies. And so I was starting to get a little upset, a little teary eye and sniffling. She brings a tissue to me out of nowhere. Just that type of thing. When you share compassion for others who are going through a really bad time or tragedy, people at my work, there were 25 people that lost their jobs in the past few weeks. It brought tears to my eyes because that's 25 people whose lives are now turned around, turned upside down. And it also made me think, a few years ago what I went through. So it was upsetting, and I've been praying for those 25 people and others. I know that throughout the world, people are losing their jobs. So I pray for people going through things like that. Or people who've lost a loved one. I think back when my sister died, she lived in Owensboro. That's like 50 miles away. There were several of you that came to the viewing. And Pastor Tim and Kelly came to the funeral. So when you show love for one another like that and being there for your fellow, believers, your family and friends, when you support them when they've lost a loved one, that is a tremendous act of love. And then people who go through hard times financially, even we've had love offerings, and we do show ourselves as a giving and loving church. So that is such a blessing. So why do we do that? It's out of love. I think we've taught love from early age, especially as Christians, and we want to show that compassion. We want to, sometimes it is a sacrifice, and it's to be like Jesus, be like Christ. So going to a site that talks about what does the Bible talk about love and what does it say it doesn't say about love, there was an article written by a man named Paul Fritz several years ago, and he had a list of what is love and what is not love, or I remember how to say this, what love is and what love is not, according to God's word. And then most of it stems from 1 Corinthians 13, which you probably have heard a lot over the years in your Christian life. Love is long-suffering. It's showing patience and in spite of troubles. Love is not in a hurry. Can't hurry love, That's another song, right? Old people won't know what I'm talking about. I'm old. What he said is hurried love is not love. It's infatuation. So keep that in mind. Love is kind. It desires to promote happiness by extending good to others. Kindness is benevolence in action. Love is not mean or apathetic. Here's another memory from me. I can remember stuff 50, 60 years ago, but I can't remember my password or phone number. But it was a cartoon of all places. And there was a guy who was arguing with his neighbor about love, and he said, you know what love spelled backwards is? It's evil. I mean, see, I can't, you know, like I said, remember some stupid thing from 60 years ago. But anyway, love is not mean. Love is a commitment to God and his people. It's not jealous. Love is poised. That means it's confident and relaxed. Love is not boastful or arrogant. You know, we don't have an inflated opinion of ourselves when we love others. Love is unselfish. I talked about that a few minutes back. It doesn't seek its own right. Love is self-sacrificing. You know, you give up things that you don't, you know, sometimes that you, for others. You know, sometimes, you know, a lot of times I let Diane, I don't say let, but she could watch the TV downstairs. She likes hospital shows and those murder shows, I call them, Dateline and all that. That's fine, you know, as long as she doesn't take notes. she wouldn't do that. Love does not seek its own self. Love is kind. Love is not irritable. It does not rejoice in success that is not based on truth. You know, love does not delight in evil. Love bears all things. Love does not complain. Love covers for another. You have forgiveness. Love does not excuse people for habitual sin. You know, you want to love that person, but you don't want to love what they're doing. So sometimes you might want to step up and talk with them about that. But anyway, love directs others toward good things. So don't encourage those wicked actions. And the author also said love does not let individualism forget our responsibility to society or others. And I want to talk about love for others here in a few minutes. So that's what this particular, he had a lot more. And to be honest, I stopped at like 20 or so because he kept going on and on. And I only have, you know, 68 minutes, so I can't talk that long. So I'm going to go to Galatians now, and we're going to talk about a couple other verses. And that starts with Galatians 5, verses 19. It's the works of the flesh. And make sure I make a note. I think this is it. We're still in this. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like that. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. So I thought it was important that the very first word, the very first fruit was love. And it's just the opposite how the works of the flesh start. You know, works of the flesh was basically lust and you know, immorality. That led to idolatry and sorcery, whereas love leads off to joy, peace, patience, and all that builds from the basic word love. And I thought that is something to keep in mind when you think about love, how powerful it is. And there's more verses, you know, to go about love. Leviticus mentions God is holy, and it talks about you shall not. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And Deuteronomy 6:5 talks about how we are to love God. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. Proverbs verses 3, or chapter 3, verse 12. For the love, the Lord reproves him who he loves as his, a father, the son in whom he delights. So, you know, love also disciplines, like God disciplines us sometimes when we're bad, you know. Ecclesiastes 9:9. Enjoy life with the wife you love, which, you know, good message, especially around Valentine's, guys. You want to remember that. 1 Corinthians 16:14. Let all that you do be done in love. And 1 Corinthians 13:13, which we'll get back to 1 Corinthians here in a few minutes. So now faith, hope, and love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. And 1 Peter 4:8. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. And finally, 1 John 4:7-8. God is love. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Just a minute. Sorry. It is only water. But when you're up here talking, it just sucks. Your mouth gets so dry. I'm sorry. All right. So I wanted to talk about now the characteristics of God's love, since we just talked about how God is love in the previous verse. The love of God is uninfluenced. That means he loves the unlovable. Just like we do, right? Well, sometimes we have problems with some people, right? But God loves the unlovable. One, he loved me, and I know I could be unlovable, but he loves the unlovable. And I think we should too as we continue on here. The love of God is eternal, which means everlasting. It means it's unchanging, and it continues to love. Three, the love of God is sovereign. It always accomplishes what it wants, even over against the rebellious objections of wicked people. You know, love of God is infinite. Again, love, it's everlasting. The love of God is immutable, which that means it's not fickle. God's love is steady, and it's unchanging. The love of God is holy. God's holy love is the source of our salvation. It was through that love for the world he gave his only son, so that selfless love there could save us. So God's is holy, but the last one is the love of God is gracious. God's grace is the free gift, you know, that we talked about. It's undeserving to us. We don't deserve it. He gave because of his love, and we have grace, God's grace. So, here we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 13:4-8, and we're touching about some verses. We kind of covered it here a little bit, but we're starting with verse 4 in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoings, but it rejoices with truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. And as for knowledge, it will pass away. So I got to reading those verses, and sometimes I think, you know, how am I doing on this love stuff? You know, about being patient. Oh, it doesn't boast, but I can be irritable sometimes. I can be rude. It seems like I get grumpy a lot. I don't know if that's old age or what. It's not pleasant. I'm not always rejoicing. So it's something we got to work on, isn't it? And how do we do that? Well, we'll talk about it here in just a second. Hopefully I'll get that. Hopefully I can get to the point on that. How do we do that? Practice that love. Now, to me, like I said, the real love, that song earlier, to me, real love, I did practice this in rehearsal, real love is when you're part of a Christian partnership. You know, when you have that love with a fellow believer. And the world looks at success, you know, with, I don't know, six-figure incomes, being a VP or president of a company, or the fancy cars, or multiple houses, or anything. But to me, the success is being in part of a loving relationship. And that, to me, is when you're in God's circle there. You're in God's grace. And I'm going to do something here, so bear with me. We used to sing choruses, and Roger, a good friend, we get a little animated. Now, I'm not going to be as animated as Roger, but I'm going to try. So I'm going to sing these choruses. You see these on what is that, TV? There you go, the screen. you forget things too when you're up here. So here we go. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. Make those O's because I really love him, right? No. I'm going to read some verses here now. John 21, 15 through 17. Starting with verse 15. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, Jesus then said to him, "Tend my sheep." And he said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." So after reading those verses, my O's feel a little bit smaller. That's the only way I can explain. You hear I'm saying, "Oh, how I love Jesus. I come to your house once a week. I read my daily bread, and I give. I do this." But I'm not feeding the sheep, I feel. You know, am I showing my love for Jesus to others? You know, am I tending to the sheep that Jesus mentioned in his word? And I feel like no matter what we do as Christians, we got to love, show our love for Christ to others by feeding the sheep. We got to show the world the love we have and why. And the Lord, the world's going to hate us. They do. They mock us all the time. But you think about what the Lord did for you and me. He showed his love by going to the cross for me and for you. And I feel like if we suffer for Christ here, you know, we're showing our love. And I feel like that's where I want to make sure my O's are a lot bigger when I can sing that song. And so I feel like we're going to show the world how we love Jesus, because you can join me on this one. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful it is to me? It is wonderful, right, as Christians, as we sit here? And that's my hope, to be joyful and loving every day. I'm not. Well, that's how we show God's love, the real love. And that's my hope. My prayer is to love God. I want to feed his sheep. I want to be more of a witness. I feel like I've failed so many times. I need to tell others. I want to love others based on what we read earlier in the verses. How we can share his word with everybody and show our compassion, show our benevolence, show our kindness. And I want to love my wife. I want to love my family. I want to love you all, all around me, even those that are unlovable, whoever that may be. I feel like as we go into this this week, I hope everybody has a joyous Valentine's Day. Love others as best as you can according to God's word that we just talked about. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your words, your message, all that you have shown to us about the topic of love. May we go our separate ways today and be a more loving Christian, or loving husband, more loving wife, father, mother, brother, sister, whatever role we are in this world, may we be more loving, but not according to the world's standards, not according to the flesh, but be more loving according to your word, and be grateful for what you have given us hope for in our lives. And we just thank you for this beautiful day, and thank you for this time. And these things we pray in your glorious name. Amen.